welcome to the Drawn by Success Artist interview series. My name is Carlos Castellanos, and I'm your founder of Drawn by Success and your host. If you're an existing member of our community, welcome back. If you're new to the site, we greet you with open arms. Thank you for joining us today. As you know, these interview series, we speak to top illustrators, cartoonists, and designers trying to unlock the secrets of, you know, practicing a creative lifestyle and developing the habits and business strategies that'll help you, you know, fuel your success. Today we have an interesting show. We have Bob Ostrom on, but he's on the opposite side of the mic.
Look at me. I'm over here.
There he is. Today we're interviewing Julia Dweck and Bob Ostrom. They're working together on an ebook. Julia writes children's stories for digital and traditional publication. You correct me if I'm wrong on any of these, Julia. Her stories span the spectrum of humor, fantasy, edutainment. Julia has a background in elementary education, which I didn't know, which offers her, I guess, a unique perspective on what children are interested in reading about. Julia collaborates with some of the leading artists in the world of children's literature and has worked with such notable publishing houses as Penguin Youth Readers. So is that spot on?
Yep, that's
it. Excellent. So we have the right person then. Bob, as most of you have known, is my sidekick here on Drawn by Success, handling a lot of these interviews with me. If you don't know Bob, Bob is a cartoon illustrator. He's worked for toy companies. He's designed cartoon logos, mascots. I know he's art directed some video games and illustrated, some over 200 children's books, I guess. And currently teaches various classes and workshops in drawing, Adobe Illustrator, and Photoshop. Is that correct, Bob?
That's
anything else
me,
you might
Carlos.
Want to add?
Yeah, that's quite a list. I didn't realize you... Look at me, yeah.
you're quite the accomplished
stuff.
Artist.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started. I mean, you know, Bob, we've been talking about this project for a while that you were working on with Julia. You've been wanting to get into the ebook market for a while and start producing some work there. Absolutely. Julia, how is a project like an ebook developed, and you know, what's the creation process like?
Well, in general, the stories I write are really inspired by just everyday life occurrences, conversations, jokes my students might tell me, and even sometimes, believe it or not, just from dreams that I have. So Where Are the Dinos really resulted from a combination of my younger students' fascination with dinosaurs and their constant questions about them. So I thought it would be funny to have a story about this curious, kind of clueless kid who drives a zookeeper crazy with his endless questions about dinos. He's kind of under the impression that they're still around somewhere at the zoo. And while writing the story, it seemed natural to throw in some jokes and puns because I know that my students like that. And so as I wrote the story, I visualized it kind of like an animated TV show in my mind, figuring out where the laughs would go. And I'm definitely a visual type of thinker. I actually like drawing and doodling myself and always have since I was a kid. So anyway, when the script was complete, I read it to my first graders. They're kind of my captive audience, and they laughed in all the right spots. So I knew I was onto something, and so I just had to find the right illustrator. And, of course, there was our friend here, Mr. Bob Ostrom. And Bob and I had worked on a previous children's project, so I knew his art would really capture the humor and the personality of the story. And, in fact, it was really Bob's idea to make the questioning child in the story into a little pup instead. So I don't know, maybe Bob wants to take it from here, because then it kind of went into his hands as far as the illustrative process.
Yes. So when I first saw the poem, I remember reading it a couple times through, and I'd laughed out loud when I read it, which is fairly unusual when I read a children's book. And so I immediately just fell in love with it. I knew that this was one that I wanted to illustrate. So I started to think about some of the ways that we could show these characters. And it seemed, typical if we were to just use regular kids. And so I thought, well, maybe it would be fun if we were to use some animals instead. And so I thought about, some characters that we could use, and I started to draw. And sometimes when I'm not really sure exactly what I want to do, I just sit down and I start sketching, and ideas will start to come as I draw. And so this little character jumped out at me, and I thought, well, what would be funny And even more annoying for the zookeeper than a little, you know, this little puppy. Well, if he were a cat, that might be even more annoying for him. So I wanted him to be, you know, just to show this sort of frustration in his face, but also to just, you know, to have a certain characteristic. He was kind of a stuffy, uptight kind of guy, you know, and the little kid, the little guy was, you know, very eager and happy. And I thought, well, what's more eager and happy than a puppy, you know? So I thought the two would go well together. And then the other characters just kind of, you know, fell into position. I used a combination of cats and dogs for the supporting characters. And then they're in a zoo and they see all the regular animals and that kind of thing. But I love drawing dinosaurs. I always have. And I just think it's the most fun. So this book was, you know, was a natural for me.
Yeah, I think dinosaurs, I mean, that's something that's so compelling and interesting to kids. You know, I remember, and I still have a kind of fascination with dinosaurs, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I did as a kid too. And still as an adult, I just think it's one of the cooler things. You know, if you wonder, like, what would it have been like to be, you know, around when dinosaurs were around, you know?
Right.
So that was kind of what, you know, the feeling that I was trying to get with this little kid, you know, like, oh man, you know, if dinosaurs were still here, how would it be? So that was the kind of enthusiasm that I built into him.
Did you like the fact that Julia wasn't set in concrete as to how she pictured or envisioned the characters in the story?
Yeah, and that's important. You know, one of the things that as an illustrator, particularly when I'm working on licensed properties and that kind of thing, that we have to adhere to are art notes, you know? And so there are not very many books that I work on where I get to help create the art notes. A lot of times they're just dictated to me. The better art directors that I work with tend to be very flexible about them. But in this case, we didn't have any art notes at all. And so, you know, when I sat down to work on the book, the door was wide open for creativity, you know? And so that was part of the real appeal to this project. And that's part of the fun of it, you know, was getting to work with Julia and suggesting ideas and sort of bouncing them off her and, you know, saying, oh, let's try this, or what if we tried that, you know? So yeah, it was a blast. I had a really good time on this project.
I found that projects always go better when you have the opportunity to have a collaborative or a true collaborative experience with, you know, the creators, both the artist and the writer, because you're able to brainstorm and things evolve as you're working on it.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
I agree. I was so pleased with the way Bob visualized my concept and, you know, that's really his area of expertise. So I think as a writer, you have to be willing to trust and be open to that, because he enhanced the story so much with all of his ideas.
Well, thank you, Julia.
You owe her $25 now, Bob.
She didn't say my website.
No, that comes later in the interview.
Right, okay.
No, that's great. So you guys had a really good collaborative experience working on this thing, and I think it shows with the end product. Let's talk a little bit about the competitive nature of the ebook marketplace and what makes this particular project in both of your eyes special or different from anything that's out there right now.
Yeah. Wow. That's a big topic. Well, the ebook market is really competitive, as you know. I mean, you know, in the past, you know, there was a gatekeeper when it came to being published and getting your work out there, which is basically you had to go through a publisher. You know, they have people who would check your work, and if you were good enough, you know, you would make it into that list. And now, you know, with this ebook and the self-publishing, anybody can publish anything. And so the trick is not only, you know, to get your stuff published, but, you know, a bigger part of it is the marketing. You know, and Julia has done a fantastic job getting this stuff out there and getting it, you know, people to see it and comment on it and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm gonna have her talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that she does and why those are so important. So, Julia, I'm handing the ball off to you on this one.
Okay. Bob's playing hot potato with the question.
Yeah. Oh, look out! Here it comes.
It's true that it's challenging, and it's challenging especially to have your ebook stand out in a market that's that's flooded not only by independent publishers now, but by big house publishers who I think they're now beginning to realize or have realized for some time now the value in the widespread readership of electronic books. So first and foremost, it's a challenge to have your books catch the attention of young readers who they're more familiar with Dora the Explorer and the Sesame Street books, which they see on their TVs every day. So for me, I think it starts by writing about topics and subjects that matter most to kids. And again, that kind of harkens back to my classroom. I can kind of get an inside scoop and feed on what they want to read about. And then as a teacher, I try and hook the reader with humor and fun, but opening the door for further exploration of a topic. So Where the Dinos is, I thought of it as kind of a gateway book that, you know, brings you in by tickling your funny bone, but then leaves the reader wanting to learn more about, you know, these mysterious creatures, as you and Bob were just saying, of the past. So that was my intention from the start. So there's like two things. There's the fact that we started out with this book, Bob and I, and we created specific learning resources at the end of the book with intriguing and true dino facts. And then Bob created this fantastic drawing lesson and a word scramble. So I think, you know, first and foremost, these fun additions, they tap into a variety of learning styles. And that's the key, because children can connect with learning in different ways. So I think that not many Amazon ebooks offer these types of features. And so my hope is that parents and teachers will incorporate Where the Dinos as a teaching tool in classrooms, and that it'll kind of spark and engage the interest of young readers so they're interested in learning more. So that's kind of my little spiel just about the educational value of it. But then as Bob was saying, that it's been our intention to, you know, also market the book, but it has to rival and hold its own against Dora the Explorer and Sesame Street. And I think that that's become a reality. I was just looking at the list today, which I try not to look too often, but it's ranked in the top 20 on Amazon's top ranked in children's color book picture books. And that ranking's based on Amazon's critical customer reviews. So we've received an overwhelming response of positive feedback from parents and reviewers and mommy bloggers. So I think we're on the right track in that regard. So I don't know. I don't want to hog the conversation. So I don't know if Bob wants to respond to that at this point.
Yeah, I hold my breath every time I look at that list. it fluctuates so frequently. It's hard to know, you know, where you're going to be one minute to another. And so I try not to refresh my browser 15 times a day when I look at the list. But I sometimes can't help it. You know, I just do that. But you know, I like what you're talking about in terms of having to compete with, you know, the big publishers and that kind of thing. So part of that is to present as professional a story and as professional a set of illustrations as we possibly can, so that when kids look at these things, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, it's important to me that when kids see my illustration, that they see the fun that I try to put into that. And I think that comes through. I hope it does anyways. And so, you know, those are some really important things. But there's also other parts to, you know, to marketing a book. Part of that, you know, the credit goes to our publisher, Kite Reader. You know, they do a fantastic job of getting us out there and you know, helping us get on the charts and that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't know if I can add all that much more to what Julia was saying, but, you know, part of it is getting, you know, good reviews up front, and Julia has a good handle on, you know, speaking with people online. She's got a fantastic way of using social media to help, you know, keep the book interesting to people. We came up with a fun little campaign where we were answering dinosaur questions and that kind of thing, you know, in a silly way. And you know, all those kind of things help to keep it fresh and in front of people. Maybe Julia, you can talk a little bit more about, you know, your social media and how you promote it using Facebook and all those kind of things. Because honestly, I was able to learn, you know, quite a bit from Julia about that when she mentioned, you know, okay, here's what we're doing and here's how this works, that kind of thing.
I would say, well, it's all basically intuitive. So this is what I've done, and I'll share with you. I've been really active on the social networks. They've been part and parcel of my journey throughout this adventure. And I've made so many important contacts along the way, and beginning with LinkedIn. LinkedIn has led to meeting people that have helped with writing opportunities and growth. And Twitter and Facebook have been effective platforms to introduce myself to parents. And I would say that my writing itself has grown from the feedback of the social community. And in fact, I actually found the editor I'm now working with through social networking. So the social community has afforded me and other writers and illustrators opportunities to share. And from a writing perspective, it's so valuable because you receive organic feedback from readers and writers and editors and publishers. So successful networking really does play a big part in getting you and your books known and in the hands of a wider audience. And it's important to try and connect with them in authentic ways. And it's challenging to attempt to make sure that you're keeping a genuine dialogue that allows them to really get to know you as a writer and an individual. So through the process and through social networks, I've met so many moms and dads who communicate not only their feedback, but the reader's feedback, their children's feedback to me. And so I think if readers believe in you and your writing, they'll not only encourage you, but they'll also help to spread the word about your stories to their network of friends. And another interesting note, I think, is that ebooks themselves are such a natural extension of the social community because they can be just as responsive and fluid and dynamic as the author and illustrator allow them to be. So changes and revisions can easily be made along the way in response to the desires and expressions of the social network. So for an example I was thinking of as Bob was talking was that I worked on another ebook with a very talented artist, and I know he's a good friend of both of yours, Fionn Arroyo.
Oh, yeah.
And
Fionn, the pirates.
Yeah, exactly. A great job illustrating pirates, the pirate adventure. And this ebook was very successful, and at one point it ranked at number one on Amazon's bestsellers in children's color picture books. But even so, Fionn and I, we were still very responsive to the reader's feedback and changes to the revised Treasure Edition based on the comments that we saw on Amazon reviews. So, you know, I realize that you can never, it's an impossible task to make everyone happy, but you have to be astute and open enough to use social networks, to use the feedback you're getting, to recognize what is helpful and be responsive to it. So in this digital market. So it's, I think it's really a wonderful time to be a storyteller if you're willing to embrace all that's out there and receive it. So that's...
Could you give me an example of maybe some of the things that were you added in, let's say, Pirates that was triggered by maybe some of the response in social media?
Yeah. Well, one of the things was as I've been, you know, moving along, putting out my books, as I mentioned, I met one of the editor I now work with through the social media, social networks. And so I've actually been working on refining my meter and rhyme in poetry. And so I felt that I could even improve in those areas. And then from an illustrative perspective, Fionn did a superlative job. But somebody mentioned that they would have liked to have seen the actual treasure box at the end. So he did put in the treasure chest as well, a final illustration into the book. So both of those things, from, you know, revising my writing and improving it and bringing it up another notch and adding in that final illustration that really clinched the ending and gave the reader a greater feeling of satisfaction at the end. I think both of those things really merged together to bring our book up another level and just enhance the overall reading experience for the reader.
Well, that's powerful that you're able to do that in that medium.
Right, because you know? I don't know that would be as easy in the print market to do that.
Well, it would be very costly in the print market to be able to revise and be able to go do that, where with the digital, it's a whole lot easier and less expensive to go ahead and do that.
Right.
Fantastic. So how'd you go about finding or deciding on using Bob for this project? I mean, what was it about Bob's illustration work that you thought this is the guy that needs to be on this one?
Right. Well, what isn't there about Bob?
Well, you know, the list is long.
Hey.
No, just joking, Bob.
The answer is obvious. So, well, yes, he's a phenomenal artist. But and you know, for me, the story really dictates the artist for, well, for example, a slow and tender tale will call out for in my mind, a more complimentary, softer, muter style, while wild and wacky adventure requires for, you know, maybe a bolder, more colorful style with greater humor. And so the illustrator and I collaborate on the direction of the artwork, which is truly an extension of the text. And, you know, in this case, what the story dictated really was clear to me was a humorous and lively style such as Bob's. Bob was the man for the job. So, and when I work with the illustrator, they really become a part of the storytelling process. They have to be, because young readers, they can become fatigued by too many words on a page. So I look for an illustration partner who can extend the story through the pictures. So with this type of collaboration, you need a partner who's willing and open to brainstorm and communicate ideas. And Bob and I think we have this type of open communication, which is so effective. He's not only terrifically talented, obviously, but he's got an extraordinary knowledge of technical skills, and he's really down to earth. So I find it very easy to talk to him. And I think we have a mutual respect for the skills that each of us brings to the table. So
that's
the way it's always felt to me. And I think that's why we were so successful in producing We're the Dinos together. So I would say throughout the process that the key is that mutual respect. So I only call upon illustrators whose talent is evidenced in the body of their work, like Bob's. And I figure the illustrator must believe in what I bring to the table as a writer, or they wouldn't agree to collaborate. So therefore, ipso facto, we should trust each other during the process and the skills each of us brings to the table. And it should all end well, hopefully.
And how many digital books have you created or written already?
20.
Wow. And what span of time?
For just the digital market, yeah. This has only been since last June of 2012.
Wow. That's a lot of ebooks.
It is. I write a lot.
So are you still teaching full time or no?
Yes. I teach by day and I write by night and by weekend.
And conquer the ebook market by night. Excellent.
That's the plan.
I know that on this project, I mean, you had the story, you had coloring pages.
Oh, yeah. We had we did a whole bunch of fun stuff with this one. So at the end of the book, there's like a word scramble. We did a little contest with that. There's a drawing lesson at the end of the book where kids can learn how to draw a dinosaur. We did a really fun campaign that's still going on right now over on the YouTubes. Where we do this thing called Fake Dinosaur Experts. So kids will send us in silly questions about dinosaurs and get back a sillier answer, you know. So we've had a blast doing that kind of stuff. I'm hoping that we can, you know, we can keep going with that one. I'm having too much fun with that. I did a little video. I did a little video on it too. So we could pop up a link to that in the show notes. Yeah, we've just been having a lot of fun. And, you know, the really cool part about the marketing is, you know, some people think of it as drudgery, but in this case, it's just been a blast. It's been almost as much fun as working on the book.
It's a creative experience. So really, it's as boring as you make it or as exciting as you make it. And you guys are doing the marketing, having fun with it, posing questions to your audience, having that interactive. That's all marketing. I mean, you guys are having a great time with this. It shows, and I think you're doing it right.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a lot of fun. And I think that's part of the key to it, too, is that if it's fun for us, I'm hoping it's going to be fun for everybody else, too, especially kids, you know, because when you speak to kids and when, you know, obviously that's our market, you know. So if you're speaking to kids, you better be fun. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right. I agree. I think you have to infuse your own personality and nature. And I think Bob and I are, you know, we're silly, and we celebrate silly.
So is there a Where Are the Dinos tour in the works or something where you guys travel to different schools and doing something? Or
I don't know. That would actually be kind of fun. I wouldn't mind doing like some Skype things with schools. What do you think, Julia? Could you do that?
That's right. We can start with my own classroom. So that'll be our practice ground. But I think that there's a world of possibilities out there, things that we can do together. And Bob and I, you know, we're working on other projects together. We're working on a couple of pilots for animated series and some more ebooks ahead. So I really look forward to working with Bob again and again.
Fantastic. Oh, do we lose Bob? Bob, you there?
Maybe he didn't like working on a series.
There's something you said threw him off. Maybe the touring thing threw him for a loop.
He's packing.
hold on. Let me see if I can try to get him on here.
Sorry about that guy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
But Julia said that you got so excited about the touring thing, you went off to start packing.
You're absolutely right. I started making calls. I was jumping up and down. I was like, woohoo! And then, you know,
he's packing up all his art supplies.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I was doing.
It's a virtual tour, Bob. It's a virtual tour.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Well, I guess that answers part of what, you know, my next question is what's next for you guys? So you're working on other projects, animated features for TV or film or?
Yeah, actually we are. We had a project that came before the Dinos that we put together that we were out shopping around and we'd actually received some interest from, you know, a rather large developer. Unfortunately, we weren't able to come to an agreement on it, but yeah, we've got some really fun stuff. And you know, the nice thing about these eBooks is that, you know, they are so, there's so much creativity in these things. And so when Julia first contacted me, we talked about a number of properties. And so I didn't really know, you know, who she was, but she asked me if I would be interested in having her write a little story about an illustration that I had already done. And so I said, yeah, sure, let's take a look. And so she wrote a story about this alligator, you know, and this little boy. And excuse me, I fell in love with the story. And so we decided that we would put it together as a proposal and we were going to try to submit that around and see what happened. But what ended up happening was once we finished the project, it turned out to be, you know, somewhat similar to another property that was already out there and developed. And, you know, I don't know if anybody out there has ever done this kind of thing before, but you find out that every once in a while you run into that kind of thing. So we took the story back and we reworked it. And we you know, changed the characters a little bit and we changed the storyline just slightly. And, you know, now this property that, you know, that is amazing. And I'm, you know, I'm excited to say that we've had some major interest in it right now. So, yeah, we're working on that one and trying to get that out there a little bit. And we've been talking about some other books too. So yeah, there's just, the sky's the limit at this point.
Well, excellent. Sounds like you guys found a good partnership there between both you guys.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I'm having a great time working with Bob. I think when you find an open, creative partner that you can bounce ideas off of, it's like playtime. It's, you know, you just have fun. So as Bob said, the sky's the limit. Whether it's eBooks or apps or animations, You know, there's so many possibilities.
Bob, have you approached Mark Simon with any of your ideas? I'm sure that he's got a lot of contacts in the TV production industry.
Not yet. We haven't gotten there yet. I've had this property out, and we're at a midpoint right now. So we're going to take it back. We're going to take another, and then we're going to kind of try to figure out what we want to do with it. But that's I'm glad you mentioned that. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, thank you for reminding me.
All right, so let's wrap this thing up. Where can people find you guys?
Yeah, sure. They can find the book right now on Amazon, Where Are the Dinos? They can look it up under my name, or they can look it up under Bob Ostrom's name, or under the title. And they can find me on my website, jewellovestowrite.com, the two being the number two. Or they also can find me on the Amazon author page by looking me up under my name.
Okay.
I'd love to have them come visit. And if they visit my site, I'd love to hear from them.
Now, are you on Facebook as well, or do you have a Facebook page for the book?
Yes. Yes, we do. And both of us have our own Facebook and Twitter feeds too, at Jewel Loves to Write for me.
Okay.
Right. So if you want to find the page that we built on Facebook, it's Facebook Where Are the Dinos, and we've got a lot of fun stuff happening there. You can find me at bobostrom.com. You can also find me at Bob Ostrom Studio on Twitter and on Facebook. I would invite people to come over and check us out on the Facebook page, the Where Are the Dinos Facebook page, because there's a lot of fun stuff going on there. We have some free coloring book pages. We have the little the video contest and that kind of stuff. So if you want to have some fun, you know, hop on over there and say hello to us.
All right. So now you have your marching orders, everyone. Go over there to the Facebook page, like the page, and join the conversation over there for Where Are the Dinos.
Yeah. And if you read the book and you like it, please leave us a review on Amazon.
Not if, when, because everybody's going to go off and buy one now.
What I meant to say was when.
Right.
Well said.
You know, one last thing, it's got me thinking with the rapid growth of the ebook market and our community of creative artists and writers that we have, it would seem like a perfect fit to maybe offer an opportunity to listen to your experience. If you can offer more of a nuts and bolts, how to launch a book from scratch and get it into the ebook market. It seems to me that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would probably be interested in this information. Would you be interested in coming back and exploring that a little bit with us?
Of course. I would be honored.
Excellent. Well, let's get that in the works. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in the how-to of producing and publishing your own ebook, let us know in the comments section. And if there's enough interest, we'll bring Julia back and go over some of those details. Bob, as always, thank you for being on, sir. Julia Dweck, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate the time. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed this segment with Bob Ostrom and Julia Dweck on ebook publishing. This is Carlos Castellanos for Drawn by Success. And that's a wrap. See you later. Thanks. Bye.